Al-Kitab, Chapter 1, The Sharia of Worship Rituals. The objective of the religion of the prophets is purification of the soul. Attainment of excellence in this purification relies on a person's relationship of servitude with the Almighty on right footings. The stronger this relationship, the greater a person is able to achieve purification both in his concepts and in his deeds. Love, fear, sincerity, faithfulness and gratitude as an acknowledgement of his innumerable favors and blessings are the inner manifestations of this relationship. In the life of a person, this relationship generally manifests in the form of the following three: worship, obedience, and support. In the religion of the prophets, worship rituals are prescribed to serve as a remainder for this relationship. The prayer and zakah and animal sacrifice and umrah are worship. The fast and itikaf are symbolic expressions for obedience, while Hajj is a symbolic expression for offering support for the cause of Allah. In the following pages, the directives of the Sharia regarding these worship rituals will be explained. The prayer. Indeed, the prayer is a duty incumbent on the faithful to be discharged at appointed hours. Surah 4, verse 103. The most important worship ritual of Islam is the prayer. A little deliberation shows that the essence of religion is comprehension of God and an expression of humility and servility before Him. The most prominent expression of this essence is worship, invoking and glorifying Him, praising and thanking Him, and kneeling and prostrating before Him are the practical manifestations of worship. The prayer is nothing but an expression of these manifestations and, with graceful poise, combines all of them. The prayer occupies extraordinary importance in Islam. In order to understand this importance, the following aspects need to be appreciated. The foremost directive. The prayer is the foremost directive of Islam. The status monotheism occupies in beliefs is exactly the same as the prayer occupies in deeds. It is evident from the Quran that the prayer is the foremost consequence of the comprehension of Allah, which one gets after being reminded by His revelations, and, as a result of this comprehension, of the emotions of love and gratitude that appear for the Almighty in a person or should appear in him. The Almighty says, "Only they believe in our revelations who, when are reminded through them, prostrate themselves in adoration and give glory to their Lord and praise and thank Him and do not adopt a rebellious attitude. Who forsake their beds to pray to their Lord in fear and hope, who spend in His way from what He have given them." Surah 32, verse 15-16. The following verses of Surah Rum also depict the same thing. Therefore, leaving everything aside, turn yourself to this religion. In this manner, obey the dictates of human nature, on which God created mankind. No change is allowed in this nature created by God. This is surely the right religion, although most men may not know it. Adhere to it by turning to Him, and fear Him only, and diligently offer the prayer, and be not among the idolaters. Surah 30, verses 30-31. At all places in the Quran where a compact style is adopted, indeed the words righteous deeds succeed a mention of faith. But at places where a comprehensive style is adopted, it is the mention of the prayer which immediately comes after the mention of faith. These who believe without seeing and show diligence in offering the prayer. Surah 2, verse 3. Indeed, those who believe and do righteous deeds and are diligent in the prayer. Surah 2, verse 277. The first thing towards which Muslims are directed in order to attain tazkiyah, or purification of the soul, which according to the Quran is the very objective of Islam, is the prayer as well. At that time, in fact, he succeeded who purified himself and for this remembered the name of his Lord and offered the prayer. Surah 87, verses 14-15. Similarly, in verses where the Quran has referred to the deeds which are essential for success in the hereafter, the prayer is mentioned in the foremost. Successful are the believers who show humility in the prayer, who avoid profane talk, and are vigilant in giving zakah, and who preserve their chastity, who are true to their trusts and promises, both with regard to the Almighty and with regard to their fellow human beings, and are diligent in their prayers. Surah 23, verses 1-9. In Surah Ma'arij, the Quran says, "Indeed, man has been created very impatient. When some affliction befalls him, he becomes depressed, and when good fortune befalls him, he becomes stingy. Not so those who pray, who are always steadfast in prayer, and who set aside a fixed portion in their wealth for those who ask and for those also who are ashamed to ask, and who truly believe in the day of reckoning and dread the punishment of their Lord. Indeed, the punishment of their Lord is not a thing to be fearless of, and those who preserve their chastity, and those who keep their trusts and promises, both with regard to Allah and with regard to their fellow human beings, and those who stand firm in their testimonies, and those who keep guard over their prayers. It is they who will be in gardens of paradise laden with honors. Surah 70 verses 19 to 35. Ibn Mas'ud r.a. narrates that he once asked Prophet Muhammad s.a.w., which deed does Allah like the best? He replied, offering the prayer on time. Umar r.a. once wrote an epistle to his administrators. The most important thing in your religious affairs is the prayer. A person who protects the prayer protects the whole religion, and a person who squanders it will be the foremost in squandering other directives of religion. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 89-90, number 527, and Malik ibn Anas Al-Muwatta 9, number 6. A requisite for Muslim citizenship. The prayer is a requisite for a person to be called a Muslim. The Quran has made it very clear that in a Muslim state, only those people can demand the rights of a Muslim who offer the prayer and pay zakah. In Surah Tawbah, the Quran, while launching an offensive against the idolaters of Arabia, declared, "So if they repent and are diligent in the prayer and pay the zakah, they shall become your brothers in religion." Surah 9 verse 11. It is evident from the above stated premise that in the hereafter also, a person should be dealt in a similar manner. The Quran has very subtly alluded to this in the following words. But look at this man. He neither believed in the good fate of the hereafter nor prayed. On the contrary, he denied and turned away. Then he went to his family conceitedly. Woe be to you, then woe be to you. And again, woe be to you, then woe be to you. Surah 75 verses 31 to 35. It is implied from the contrast between the words prayed with turned away, and then he went to his family conceitedly, that this importance has been invested in the prayer, because in the sight of Allah, a person who does not offer the prayer is showing arrogance and pride, and the Quran has made it very clear in Surah 7 verse 40, that a camel can enter the eye of a needle, but an arrogant person cannot enter paradise. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, "The line which demarcates disbelief and polytheism in a person is abandoning the prayer." Similarly, at another occasion he remarked, "These are the five prayers which the Almighty has made obligatory on people. A person who did ablutions in a befitting manner, offered the prayer on time, and prostrated both his inner and outer self before the Almighty, has been promised forgiveness by him. And a person who does not do these things is not promised anything. If he wants, he will forgive him, and if he wants, he will punish him." Reference Abu Dawud Sunan Volume 1, 113, number 425. Means of strong adherence to Islam. The prayer is a means to remaining steadfast on Islam. The Quran has informed us that a devil is deputed on a person who becomes indifferent to remembering the Almighty and evades him. "We shall depute a devil on the person who evades the remembrance of the Merciful, and he shall be his companion." Surah 43 verse 36. This devil then becomes his permanent companion. The prayer saves a person from this indifference and evasion and protects him from the devil. It can be seen from the verses of Surah Mu'minun, Surah 23, and Surah Ma'arij, Surah 20, quoted earlier, that the directive of prayer encircles all directives that were mentioned there. They begin with the prayer and end with it. It is obvious from this that it is safeguarding the prayer which ensures a person's adherence to Islam. No doubt, the onslaughts of Satan continue even after this, but he cannot dwell permanently in the heart of a person who is punctual and ever vigilant in offering the prayer. Like a citadel, the prayer continues to ward off Satan and protects a person's mind and heart from its offensives. It is precisely for this reason that it has been emphasized that a person should offer it even in times of danger in whatever way he can, whether on foot or while riding. In Surah Baqarah, where the section on the Islamic Sharia ends, it is said, "Be watchful over your prayers, especially the one which comes in the middle of the morning, and evening prayers when it is not easy for you to take out time from your involvements, and stand before Allah devoutly, leaving aside everything. Then if you fear any danger, pray on foot or while riding, as may be most convenient. But when there is security, remember Allah in the very manner He has taught you, which you knew not." Surah 2 verses 238 to 239. On these very grounds, the Quran has referred to indulgence in lust and desires as if it was an essential consequence of wasting the prayer, using the words, "Then after them, there followed a posterity who wasted the prayer and followed after lusts." Surah 19 verse 59. In Surah An-Kabut, the words are even more explicit. "And be steadfast in the prayer, because it deters a person from lewdness and evil." Surah 29 verse 45. The verse says that like a preacher, the prayer cautions a person that in spite of the onslaught of desire and emotions, he should not forget the fact that one day he will have to face the Almighty and present an account of his deeds before him. While explaining the above quoted verse, Imam Amin As-Sanislahi writes, "Those who offer the prayer, whether in public or in private, giving due regard to its etiquette and conditions, are reminded by the prayer with both its inner and outer aspects of all those realities which are necessary to keep them on the right path in life. In particular, the prayers offered in seclusion influence the life of a person a lot. A person who does not offer the prayer is like the driver of a car who is driving the car of his life with speed but who is totally indifferent and unaware of the landmarks which appear on the road to guide him and protect him from danger. It cannot be said when such a driver may fling his car into some pit." Reference Amin As-Sanislahi, Tadabburi Quran, Volume 6, Number 53. As Eraser of Sins. When a person stands in prayer, he renews his commitment with God that he will try to refrain from disobeying him. As a consequence of this, he necessarily feels ashamed of the sins he has committed in between two prayers, and with new vigor and determination, returns to the busy routine of life to protect himself from indulging in them. A little deliberation shows that this is the very essence of repentance, and it is known that repentance cleanses a person. It has thus been said, "And be diligent in your prayer at both ends of the day, and in a portion of the night too. No doubt, good deeds make amends for sins. This is a reminder for those who benefit from reminders." Surah 11 verse 114. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Tell me, if there is a stream flowing near your door, in which a person bathes 5 times a day, then will he still have a stain of dirt on him?" The people replied, "In this case, no speck of dirt would remain on him." The Prophet remarked, "This is an example of the 5 prayers. Through them, the Almighty in a similar manner wipes out sins." Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami Al-Sahih, 90, number 528. Means of countering hardships. When the Jews were invited by the Quran to revive their covenant with the Almighty, it advised them to seek help from the prayer to discharge its responsibilities. The same advice was given to the believers among the Ishmaelites as well. "Believers, seek help from perseverance and from the prayer. Indeed, God is with those who persevere." Surah 2 verse 153. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam too was advised to adhere to the prayer in order to bear with perseverance the mischief and torments of the miscreants. "So bear then with what they say and give glory to your Lord and praise Him before sunrise and before sunset. And glorify Him in the night also and also after the sun bows down." Surah 50 verses 39 to 40. This means that the prayer is the most effective means to draw the blessings of the Almighty. Consequently, it is evident from a study of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that whenever he would encounter an important issue, he would stand to pray. When people requested him to invoke the help of Allah for rain, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first offered the prayer and then put his hands up for invocation. At the time of solar and lunar eclipses, when it was felt that the Almighty might send his punishment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam offered the prayer. In the battles of Badr and Ahzab, when the Muslim forces were arrayed against their opponents, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam resorted to the prayer to seek help from the Almighty through it. Symbol of true dawah. We are told by the Quran that true reformers are the ones who hold steadfast to the divine book as the covenant of the Almighty and as a barometer which distinguishes good from evil and are diligent in the prayer. And those who hold tightly the book of God and who are diligent in the prayer are those who reform. We shall not deny these reformers their reward. Surah 7 verse 170. While explaining these verses, Imam Amin As-Sanislahi writes, "This declaration of the Quran is a benchmark to judge all movements and undertakings that aim at reforming the Muslims and calling them to Islam. It is evident from this that only that movement of calling people to Islam is on the right path in whose basic ideology, program, objective, in short, in all its spheres, the prayer and adherence to it is the foremost and is of the same importance which, according to the Quran, it occupies in the covenant with God and in the struggle for its enforcement. Movements and undertakings that aim at the revival of the Muslims and the reformation in which the prayer is not the foremost and does not hold due significance are fruitless and devoid of any blessings of Allah. The reason for this is that they are without the backing and support on which the edifice of such movements rest, and also bereft of the spirit which this edifice needs to take life from. Reference Amin Hassan Islahi, Tadabburi Quran, Volume 1, Number 203. Means of Perseverance on the Truth. It is obvious that it is only in the companionship of the Almighty that one can persevere on the path of truth, and the prayer is so close to the Almighty that it is His stand-in for us in this world. The verse, "Prostrate and attain my nearness," in Surah 96, verse 16, refers precisely to this aspect. Therefore, if one wants to attain the companionship of the Almighty while striving in His cause, he should adhere to the Book of God and to the prayer. The most important way to achieve this end is through the late-night prayer of Tahajjud. So when the Prophet ﷺ was directed by the Almighty to expand his sphere of Indhar, he was told to be diligent in this prayer to get the help he needed to bear the heavy burden of responsibilities of this phase. The reason for this, as informed by the Quran, was that the time of Tahajjud is a time when one's heart and mind are fresh and receptive and is a time that is very appropriate to understand the Quran. In the words of Imam Amin Hassan Islahi, "Since this time is the very time at which the mind is at rest and the heart fully conscious, hence the words that emanate from the tongue are very effective and make room in one's heart. The reciter himself receives them as if they were the testimony of his own heart, and to other listeners the words are also very stirring." Reference Ibid, Volume 9, Number 25. The Quran says, "O you enfolded in your shawl, stand in prayer by night but not all night, half the night, or even less or a little more, and in this prayer of yours, recite the Quran in a slow measured tone. Because soon we shall lay on you the burden of a heavy word. Indeed, this rising by night is very suitable for the mind's peace, and the heart's resolve, and for the correctness of the speech. Because during the daytime you will be hard-pressed with this task, so pray at this time. And remember the name of your Lord, and in this loneliness of the night, devote yourself entirely to Him." Surah 73, verses 1-8. It is evident from certain narratives that the Almighty directs His special attention to this world at this time. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Every night the Almighty descends to our nearest sky. When one third of the night remains, He says, 'Who is offering supplications that I may accept them? Who is asking that I may give him? Who is calling for forgiveness that I may forgive him?'" Reference Al-Bukhari al-Jami al-Sahi 183, number 1145, and Muslim al-Jami al-Sahi 307, number 1773. As the nature of every object of the universe. If only a person has eyes through which he can really see, there is a doubtless reality that he can observe. Every particle of this universe glorifies and praises the Almighty, offers his gratitude and bows down before him. He may not be able to understand this praise and glorification, but he can readily observe that just as the outer self of a thing bows down before the Almighty and is ever obedient to Him, the inner self too can be no different. Animals which walk on the earth, trees which flourish in the orchards, birds which chirp in the sky, fish which swim in the seas, the sun, the moon, and the stars which shine in the sky, all bear this testimony through this very existence. The seven heavens, the earth, and all who dwell in them exalt Him, and there is not one thing that does not exalt Him while praising and thanking Him. Yet you cannot understand their exaltation. Benevolent is He and forgiving." Surah 17, verse 44. All these are fully aware of their prayer and exaltation of the Almighty. If a person has a keen eye, he can see that when birds with their wings outstretched fly in the sky, they are in fact bowing down in humility to the Almighty. "Do you not see how God is exalted by those in the heavens and those on earth, and the birds as they wing their way across the sky? Each knows his prayer and exaltation of the Almighty, and God has knowledge of all that they do." Surah 24, verse 41. Writes Imam Amin as-Sanislahi, every object of this universe in its nature has an Abrahamic temperament. The sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains, and the animals that tread the earth all follow the divine law on which they have been created. None of them deviates from this law in the slightest manner. The sun, whom some foolish people worship, bears testimony from its very existence that it stands and bows before the Almighty every day. It raises his head at the time of sunrise and then stands before the Almighty till noon. After midday, it kneels before him and at sunset prostrates before him and remains in this state all night. It is to this reality which the waxing and waning of the moon and the rising and setting of stars point. The same is true for the mountains, trees, and animals. Their shadows at all times stand, kneel, or bow down before the Almighty, and a little deliberation shows that such is the Abrahamic temperament of this shadow that it always remains opposite to the sun. If the sun is in the east, the shadow will stretch in the west and vice versa. In other words, the shadow of every object from its very existence tells us that it is not the sun but its creator who is worthy of prostration. Reference Amin as-Sanislahi, Tadabburi Quran, Volume 1, 229. The Quran says, "And have they not seen that whatever the Almighty has created casts its shadow right and left, prostrating itself before God in all humility? And to God bow all the creatures of the heavens and the earth, and the angels too, and they are never rebellious." Surah 16, verses 48 to 49. Consequently, when a person stands in prayer, he in fact answers this call of praying, prostration, and glorification made by every object of this universe. He brings his nature in harmony with the universe and declares thereby that he would not lag behind anyone and will prostrate not only his body but also his soul before the Almighty who created him. He will never take a separate route from the rest of the creation, in which he has no companion, and if there are such people, then they are the ones for whom the wrath of the Almighty has become certain. Do you not see that those in the heavens and the earth, the sun and the moon and the stars and the mountains and the trees and the beasts and countless men, all prostrate before God, and there are many on whom punishment has become incumbent? Surah 22, verse 18. As real life, the preaching of the messengers of Allah has been called life by the Quran. Believers, respond to Allah and His messenger when He calls you to that which will give you life. Surah 8, verse 24. The reason for this is that no doubt every living person has a life to live, but real life, which has been called as light, inner calm and faith, is only secured through the remembrance of the Almighty. The prophets of Allah summon people towards this remembrance of Allah, and for this purpose they call them foremost towards the prayer. What is the prayer? When the remembrance of God, His comprehension, and the sense of nearness to Him reaches the level of excellence, then this becomes the prayer. All the sages of the world are unanimous that real life is the life of the soul, and this life is nothing but the remembrance of God, His comprehension, and the sense of nearness to Him. Only the prayer can furnish such a life to man. The Quran has made a subtle reference to this at one place by placing the prayer parallel to life and sacrifice parallel to death. Say, "My prayer and my sacrifice and my life and my death are all for God, Lord of the universe." Surah 6, verse 162. If a person grasps this reality, then he keenly awaits the time of a prayer the way he awaits the time of food each day. His eagerness for the prayer is the eagerness of a thirsty person for water and that of a hungry person for food. The prayer becomes his sustenance from the Almighty. It instills happiness in him and invigorates him. The Prophet Jesus sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Matthew 4:4. Just as people eat various types of food to savor their taste, he nourishes his soul by reading various passages of the Quran, different supplications and liturgies. It is the prayer which enlivens and freshens up a person when hardships bog him down. It is the prayer which, like a breath of fresh air, cleanses the filth of sin. In the autumn of frustrations, the prayer is the hope of spring, and when adversities embrace a person from all sides, it is the prayer which is his rock of asylum. These lines should not be counted as some poetical utterance. It is towards these feelings that the Prophet ﷺ has alluded by the words, "Rise, O Bilal, and soothe us through the prayer." and the coldness of my eyes has been placed in the prayer. Reference Abu Dawud Sunan Volume 4298, Number 4986, and Al-Nasai Sunan 469, Number 3391.